It's funny to think that the rebuilding of the walls in Jerusalem under Nehemiah in 52 days took less time than this sermon series, which started in early January. But here we are in the last week of the series. When we started, Peter put it all in the context of God's promises to Abraham in Genesis 17. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will be their God. This everlasting covenant is about relationship between God and his people, and it's personal. This is a triangular relationship where God loves each of us as me so much, and he loves everyone else just as much. Jesus told us, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbour as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. When we met Nehemiah in chapter 1, it was as he was being told that the former exiles who had returned to Judah were in great trouble and disgrace. We have followed his journey from weeping and mourning for his people, to praying and fasting, to telling the king what was troubling him and having the king grant his requests because the gracious hand of God was on him. We have seen the purposeful planning and preparation of the wall and the way the people followed Nehemiah's lead in pulling together and overcoming opposition to build the wall. It was the gracious hand of God on Nehemiah and Nehemiah's faithful fellowship and leadership that brought to a sorry situation what had been so lacking before. Nehemiah had a heart for God and for people. Prayer was his first response, and he prayed hard. He was a man of faith and hope, and he worked hard to bringing about the purposeful plan and give glory to God. As we step out to follow God and lead others as disciple-making disciples, we need to live out the same traits. Today's reading from Nehemiah chapter 5 is a drop-in about what was happening within the community at about that time. It is sandwiched between chapters 4 and 6, which tell of the ongoing building work. This passage is central to the point that has been made before in this sermon series, that the book of Nehemiah is about far, far more than a rebuilding project of a wall. It is about the rebuilding and restoring of relationships between God and his people, and between God's people. Ironically, it seems that all the concerted efforts being made by the people in rebuilding the wall and filling in the holes revealed significant cracks in the relationships between the people. It was perhaps the last straw. It didn't take much to take people over the edge. Large families had been just about managing to put food on the table for everyone, albeit running up debt and being in hock. But the economic shocks of a famine and all the extra effort of making the wall happen has brought the underlying problems to the surface. Don't forget that the wall rebuilding happened during the summer months, diverting workers from the fields during the harvest season, and would have seen them taking a financial hit. The wives take part in the outcry and protest in verse 1, because they would have been acutely aware of the trouble brewing as they would have been holding the fort at home while their husbands were away in Jerusalem working on the wall. So why is this about relationship? it really boils down to what the Pentateuch had to say about the way God's people were expected to relate to one another. Deuteronomy chapter 15 says, "There should be no poor among you, for the Lord your God will greatly bless you in the land he is giving you as a special possession." However, given that there were still poor people, and they sometimes sold themselves or family members into slavery as a way of paying off debt, Exodus 21 takes the edge off this by making clear that this slavery could last no more than 6 years. Slaves were to be free in the sabbatical year, or year of Jubilee. They were certainly not to be sold on to the Gentiles. Leviticus 25 goes further by saying that if any Israelite does fall into poverty, do not charge interest or make a profit at his expense. Instead, show your fear of God by letting him live with you as your relative. Remember, do not charge interest on money you lend him or make a profit on food you sell him. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. This is covenant stuff. This then is the cause of Nehemiah's anger when hearing the outcry of those in poverty at the time of the wall rebuilding. It's interesting to see how different Bible translations present verse 7 when Nehemiah confronts the wealthy nobles and officials about exploiting their own people. The message is particularly hard-hitting. Each of you is gouging his brother. Gouging. This was perhaps central to the great trouble and disgrace of the people of Judah that had been reported to Nehemiah at the court of King Artaxerxes all those months before. The Hebrews were being mocked by their enemies and were making God a laughingstock. Verse 8 shows that Nehemiah counts himself amongst those who are doing all we can to redeem ourselves, to redeem those who had been enslaved to pagan foreigners. Even so, he does seem to include some reproach of himself in verse 10 when he says, "I myself, as well as my brothers and my workers, have been lending the people money and grain." Whilst this was legally acceptable, the main point is that Nehemiah is making is that this is not some business arrangement. It shouldn't be. We are talking about family here, our own flesh and blood. This should be about self-giving to love our neighbours, our family, as ourselves. And who is our neighbour? I'm sure that I'm not alone in placing the street children of Manila on this list. Verse 2 of our reading from Nehemiah says, "We need more food to survive." And as we heard earlier, the emergency appeal from Jigsaw Kids Ministries said, "The areas we work in don't have the money to buy food or medical supplies and have no funds to go to hospital if they get sick. They need more food to survive too." When we started this sermon series, I don't think anyone could have imagined that by the time we got to looking at chapter 5, it would be so pertinent to the circumstances that the world faces now with the coronavirus. In a supposedly civilized and caring society, it is sobering to see how quickly self-interest is unmasked with every man for himself mentality, not least stripping supermarket shelves of hand sanitizer. It says a lot about the fear in our society where we are putting our trust. I doubt that those who seek to build their shelters out of hoarded toilet rolls will fare much better than the little pig who built his house of straw when the big bad wolf comes. But it challenges us also, as Christians, to make sure that we are building our house upon the rock, not on shifting sands. As well as the church doing all we can to support and pray for those in our community who are unwell, isolated or fearful through the medical emergency, we need to be thinking ahead to the hard impact of the economic shocks caused by the coronavirus that will undoubtedly come. As well as planning to go door knocking in our community to tell them about the love of Jesus, we need to get ready to show it as well to those whose jobs become at risk. This is something we need to ponder as individuals, not least in terms of how we want to support our local food bank, if we can. As I draw to a close about Nehemiah's courage to care, I want to come back to that relationship that we all have with God and other people. How might our learning over the last couple of months of this sermon series make a difference to our relationships? I would suggest three ways which resonate with previous weeks, what we've said then. And forgive me if this sounds cheesy, but it may help us to remember it. Prayer, care, share. In our relationships with God, we need more prayer. Given that God loves other people as much as he loves us, and that is so much, we need to care for others in practical ways, having a heart for those that God loves. And following the example in Acts of the early church community of believers after Jesus' resurrection, we need to share more, not least sharing our money with those in need and speaking out for those not getting a fair deal. Prayer, care, share. Amen.